After 5 grueling years, the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse has handed down its vision for change. Bianca Hrovat has more.
The Royal Commission into the Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Assault delivered its final report today. An overwhelming body of evidence was compiled from almost 8,000 witnesses in private sessions, 1,344 written accounts, and 444 days of public hearings. The average age of victims when first abused was 10 years old and continued for an average of 2 years. More than 1 in 3 survivors said they were sexually abused in out-of-home care. Jackie Reed is the CEO of CREATE, a foundation representing the voices of children and young people with an out-of-home care experience. Ms. Reed says early sexual abuse has a number of harmful consequences for children in care.
The long-term impacts of child sexual abuse are so complex and different for each person, but we know overwhelmingly that people often have difficulty forming relationships. It comes back to affect their ability to have intimate relationships. It often affects the way that they bring up their own children. It can inhibit their self-esteem in the sense that they are not confident as they normally would be because they've been under such incredible pressure. And it can also really affect mental health outcomes for people in the long term.
Child abuse activist Kathy Kesselman says the Commission should be commended for facilitating thousands of victims in disclosing their past abuse.
This is an issue that people really struggle to talk about because people take on a very inappropriate sense of shame and self-blame when they've experienced sexual abuse. So it's very hard to talk about it. It's also very difficult because of the way trauma affects memory to actually be able to tell a coherent narrative, a story of I remember when such and such happened at what time. And that's because of the effect of trauma on the brain.
Critics of the Commission questioned the credibility of victim testimonies, arguing that past trauma created false memories. Complex abuse expert Dr. Michael Salter says the Commission took every measure to ensure the validity of its findings.
It's important to recognise that the Royal Commission addressed questions around the credibility of survivor testimony very directly, including by commissioning original research and also by requesting experts in the field to draw that evidence together. And on the basis of the evidence, the Royal Commission was confident in going forward with its recommendations. Nonetheless, we can understand that the Royal Commission is not making findings on the basis of one allegation or two allegations. It has 8,000 people who have spoken in private sessions, as well as 1,000 written statements. So this is a very robust body of evidence for us to move forward and think about how we can make Australia more safe for children.
Dr. Salter says this evidence was crucial to the Commission's final report.
The survivor testimony was absolutely vital on so many levels. In terms of the Royal Commission's remit and mandate, the testimony survivors provided the evidence base that it needed to create a picture of a hidden period in Australian history. You know, child abuse is a hidden phenomenon. Perpetrators don't want anyone to know about it, and to a disturbing extent, society doesn't want to hear about it. So, you know, really throwing open the gates and providing survivors with many different ways of contacting the Commission and providing evidence allowed them to shine a light onto the kinds of activities that I think Australia has turned its back on for a long time. And I think for the survivors themselves, this was just a completely unparalleled opportunity to finally talk about what had happened and feel like someone was listening.
The Royal Commission made 189 new recommendations based on its findings. These include the establishment of a National Office for Child Safety, a list of enforceable child-safe standards, and laws to protect people who report child sexual abuse. Ms. Reed says the recommendation for better training for professionals working with children will be essential.
I've had 3 cases very recently where workers within the out-of-home care sector have responded in a most inappropriate manner to children making disclosures of sexual abuse, and a lot of it comes down to the fact that despite all of this highlighting and with the Royal Commission happening, government departments are not investing enough in adequate training to train people on how to deal with disclosures of abuse and how to act appropriately to protect these young people that have disclosed.
Responsibility now falls to the government to implement changes. Ms. Kesselman says the government must now act to bring perpetrators to justice and prevent future offences.
We can't see these 189 recommendations sitting on a shelf. They need to be enacted, and they need to be enacted honourably and comprehensively by governments and institutions. because many survivors have come forward and that's taken enormous courage, and now they're waiting, and we need to honour that waiting and honour their stories.
Dr. Salter says institutional change is not enough.
Rather than leaving child protection to, you know, underfunded, overburdened statutory child protection agencies, the Royal Commission is clearly saying that child safety is the responsibility of all Australians and, you know, all government departments, all government services that are in contact with children have a responsibility to ensure the safety and the well-being of those children. And that includes, you know, I think we need to reflect as a society on those attitudes and views that we hold of children that can silence them, that can blame them when they've been hurt, or that can silence them when they try to speak up.
That story was by Bianca Hrovat.